Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I truly thank God for the privilege and opportunity to be before you one more Saturday, one more Sabbath day that God has allowed us to be together. I don't know if you consider it a privilege, but I know I certainly do. And I'm going to have to believe that you do because you keep tuning in on Saturday mornings. So I thank you for your presence. I truly do thank you for your presence. This morning, our beloved co-host, Tabika Garnes, will not be with us. She will be in Brooklyn, New York with her husband. She is going there. She's there to receive an award. She is an honoree and receiving an award for godly service and her growth and the commitment that she's had in serving in the ministry. So she is in Brooklyn to receive that reward today. Also, this weekend is her and her husband's 16th anniversary. So they'll be spending the weekend in New York. And of course, I had to give her the day off. And so that's where she is. She sends her love. I talked to her this morning. She sends her love, told me to let all of you know that she will miss y'all, but understand that she's definitely going to enjoy her time away for this weekend. So we want to say congratulations to them for their anniversary and congratulations specifically to Minister Garnes for her dedication, her loyalty, and her service in the body of Christ. So we do thank you. And she was nominated by somebody from Pennsylvania. She was nominated by someone from Pennsylvania. And so she is there to receive that award. So we do praise God for her. We do praise God for her. Thank you. And the person that nominated her is an apostle, a dear friend of ours, of mine. She's a dear friend of mine. And she was the one that nominated her. She has watched Tabika growing for years with this ministry. And she definitely felt that she deserved to be honored. And so that's what we did. So anyway, again, good morning to all of you. Good morning to Tamika. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. And good morning to Les and Joyce Richardson. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago, Denise in Pennsylvania, Rob Lane in Pennsylvania. Good morning to you. Good morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Nikki Chu, from here where I live in the community that I live in, and I do Bible study for them on Fridays. Thank you so much, beloved, for joining us. Good morning to you. Good morning to all of the members of New Vision who drop in on us sporadically, but they drop in on Saturday mornings. Good morning to you all. To God be all the glory and the honor. Again, we just thank God for you coming together with us on Saturday morning. We know that you could stay in your bed, be sleeping, relaxing, whatever the case may be. And even if you are still in your bed, you still saw fit to dial this number and call in to Heart to Heart. And we truly appreciate it because you could be doing anything else. So we do not take your dedication, your loyalty, your presence. We do not take it for granted at all. We do not take it for granted. I am going to go ahead and open us in prayer. And please know that my heart is overjoyed. It's overjoyed for the day. It's overjoyed for the day. Thanks to God, when I say this is the day that the Lord has made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, I truly do mean it. And there are mornings when my day does not start off good. It does not start off good. And I have to talk to myself to get me out of some of that depressing funk that I wake up in sometimes. And remember that God made this day and that I'm to do everything that I can to rejoice in it. So there's where my declarations come in, decreeing and declaring my day, commanding the day and so forth. You know, that's where that comes in. That's why it is so important to start your day with prayer, to start your day with prayer. And I can tell the difference in my life when I don't start it with prayer. When I wake up, maybe because a phone call came in and I get involved in that phone call and solving somebody's problem and I'm barely awake and another phone call comes in, and then before you know it, I've gone several hours of the day and I have not given God his proper time. So let's try to get in the practice seriously of starting our day with prayer. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you. I honor you. I bless you. I magnify your holy name, O God, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is none like you. I thank you so much, Lord God, that you brought us safely through the night, that no matter what went on in the night, Lord God, you saw fit to have us live another day. I thank you for the breath of life, Lord God. I thank you for the activity of our limbs, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm in my right mind, Father God, and that we are in our right mind in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the power, the truth, and the encouragement, Lord God, that we get just by lifting your holy name. Father, I thank you because you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Nisi, Lord God, the banner over us, which is love. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Lord God. Lord, you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, Father God. You are our sanctifier, Lord God. Father, you are so much to us. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us, O God. Oh, Lord God, the one, Lord God, who connects us, who restores. Your Son is the one that redeemed us, O God. Lord, you saved us from ourselves. You saved us from an eternity of sin, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Father. Lord, according to your word, we are to seek first the kingdom and your righteousness. And Father, all these things will be added unto us. So, Lord, I thank you that this morning we're seeking you first and foremost. We're seeking you, Lord God, so that you can lead us into a life of blessing and purpose and freedom, Lord God. Father, today, Lord God, we rededicate ourselves to you. Lord, we belong to you. We acknowledge that. We submit to you this day, Lord God. Father, we want to focus in on you and your priorities first, oh God. We want to share your love, Lord God, and making your name known to so many others, Lord God, throughout the world. Father God, I thank you that as we focus in on you, Lord God, that we will be able to receive joy and to walk in peace. For your word tells us, Lord God, that those who keep their minds stayed on you, that we shall be in perfect peace. So, Lord God, let our minds be stayed on you. And when we see, Lord God, that we are in turmoil, that we are distressed, that we are oppressed, that we, Lord God, are depressed, oh Lord God. Truly at that time, our mind is not stayed on you. So to those of you and to myself, when we find ourselves in that place, we've got to renew the mind. We've got to transform. We've got to go back to the place where we put our minds on Christ Jesus. And there was where we received the joy and the peace. So, Father, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. And having that sound mind, oh God, we are disciplined in what it is that you would have us to be disciplined in. I thank you, Lord God, that when our mind feels out of control, we can pray for you to renew the mind and let the power and love flow through us the way that it should. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for every person on this line. Every need that they have, it shall be met, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, in this seventh month of the year, Father God, that there's some things, Father God, that had us tied up and bound, oh Lord God, where we could not move forward in our ministries, in our relationships, in our lives. But in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare seven being finished, seven being complete, that some of those things are complete. They're finished. They're over within this month in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that there shall be a dropping off of chains and shackles. I decree and declare that your mind shall come to peace. Father, I pray the mind of Christ being restored and renewed within us, that we have a sound mind, a healthy mind, that we walk in the mind of Christ and in the mind of Christ and with the mind of Christ cannot, Lord God, continue to be depressed and oppressed, oh Lord God. So I pray a sound and healthy mind. I thank you for those things that you finished on the cross, God, shall be materialized in our life, that we recognize the benefits of the cross. We recognize the things you did at the cross, Lord God, our deliverance, our provision, our healing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, even direction for us, oh God. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, exactly the way it is in heaven. Lord God, bring it to earth, Lord God, through the prayers of the righteous that availeth much, oh God. Speak to the prophets of this day, Lord God. Speak to them, Lord God. Show them the visions and the dreams, oh God. Speak that they may speak your mind to your people, Lord God, that the people will be empowered, that people, Lord God, would be restored, that people will be strengthened, Lord God, by the revelation of your word, the revelation of your will in the name of Jesus. Father, you promised if we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. And Father, we need your presence today. We need it today, Lord God. We need it now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, even on this show, Father, we are drawing near to you through this prayer. We draw near to you through worship, Lord God. We draw near to you, Lord God, today as we read your word. Father, we open our hearts to you, and we ask you to be near to us, oh God, and change us to be more like you. Lord, change us, oh God, that we can be more like you. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Your word says if we humble ourselves before you, that you will lift us up. God, you promised to lift us up before you. Lift us this day, oh God. We recognize that we cannot succeed without you, Lord God. We cannot. So, Father, we need you every morning. I need you. Oh, I need you. Lord God, I need you, Lord God. We as a company together here, we need you, Lord God. In unity as the body of Christ, Father, we need you. So we humble ourselves before you. Work in us, oh God, and work through us, oh God. Thing that we had planned for the day, we release it unto you, Lord God. We give you our time. We give you our thoughts, oh Lord God, our words, our plans, Lord, all of it, we surrender it unto you. Father, use us today for your purpose, oh God. We trust that you are with us because your word says, Lord God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father God, I thank you. I honor you. I bless you, Lord God. I magnify your holy name, for there truly is none like you. There is none like you, Lord God. There is none like you. I thank you. I honor you. I give you, Father God, all the glory, all the honor, in Jesus Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. Lord, I pray, Lord God, I pray that those that are on this line, Lord God, sense your presence, oh God. Your presence, oh God. May your presence be manifested right where they are, Lord God. May they sense your presence in the name of Jesus. And I give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, amen and amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to praise his holy name and to know, praise be unto God, that God loves us, that he loves us beyond anything that we could say, anything that we could do. Above everything, he loves us. He loves us, thanks to God. He loves us. And if you doubt that, I want you in faith, just say to yourself now, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Say that in faith to yourself. Jesus loves me. If there's someone else in the room with you today, tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And somebody may say, well, how do you know? I know because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. And I choose to believe what the Word of God says. I choose to believe it in the name of Jesus. I choose to believe it. Jesus loves me. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, I thank you again. I honor you. I am so wrapped up right at this moment. I am so wrapped up, praise be unto God, in the love of Christ and again in his presence that it's hard for me to move on, but I am definitely going to attempt to move on in the name of Jesus. I'm attempting to move on in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. All right, my loves. All righty, beloved. Today we're going to be looking at the prophets again. We're going to be looking at the prophets. And you may say, well, Apostle, of all of the spiritual gifts or all of the fivefold ministry, you seem to spend a lot of time talking about the prophets. And I want you to know first and foremost that one of the reasons I spend a lot of time talking about the prophets, first of all, the scripture that New Vision for Life Ministry is based on, it's Proverbs 29:18, where it says, without a vision, the people perish. And he who keeps the law happy is he. And the word vision in that sentence, it's not just speaking about just what we see. It's speaking about revelation. See, what we see is the revelation of God. That is what we are seeing. That is the vision that the Word wants us to get, the revelation of God. And so without revelation from God, we perish. And the prophets are the ones that helps to bring about the revelation of God. They're the ones that speak forth what God is saying. They're the ones that see in the spiritual realm what God wants revealed to us. And without this revelation, we die. Without the revelation, we die. And so it is important that we receive revelation. It is important that we receive prophecy. And the purpose of the prophetic word and the hearing of God's voice is not only to find out what God wants to do, but to connect us to who God is. It connects us to who it is. Prophecy speaks in order to strengthen us and to encourage us and to equip us and to comfort us. It's speaking divine encouragement. I mean, you can't, like, I can call somebody and give them encouraging words and so forth, but when you are receiving encouraging, powerful words from God himself, beloved, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. And so prophecy is so, so important to the body of Christ. As we receive prophecy, we are being empowered with the nature of God so that we can become like him and we can display his nature here on earth. Listen, saints of God. When we say that we want people to see Jesus in us, beloved, that means his nature, everything about him. We want people to see us. And when they see us, they see Christ. I don't want them to see Etta Banks in the flesh. I want them to see spiritually the Christ that lives within me, the Christ that empowered me, the Christ that anointed me. And the same thing with you, the Christ that brought his marvelous nature here on earth, did it so that we could have eternal life. And he had an eternal plan for us. He had a plan for us. And that plan wasn't just for a moment. The prophetic word, again, deals with our relationship with God. And the relationship with God helps us to have a love relationship with those people that God gives us to prophesy to. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Saints of God, I'm telling you to know him for who he is, to know him, to know, Jesus, I thank you, to know that God loves you so much that no matter what you did, no matter where you've been, no matter what devious plans you planned, that no matter what, he knew all of those things about you. He knew them all about me. He knew about every lie we would tell, every fornication we would commit, every adultery that we would commit, every idol that we would make, every time we denied him before man. He knew it. He knew it. Yet he still chose to come to earth in human form and take on himself the sins of the world. And the sins of, to take all of that on him, to take all of that on him and take the punishment that we were to take. He took that punishment so that we wouldn't have to take that eternal punishment. Oh, I'm not telling you that you won't suffer in these days. I'm not telling you that you won't have trials or tribulation, but I am telling you because of what he did and because he rose again, we have been warranted eternal life. And that eternal life means after this physical body dies, that we live on in Christ Jesus. We do not die because we are spiritual beings as well as, and we're housed in this flesh. We are housed in the flesh, but we are spiritual beings, and we will live on forever. And that is only by the power, the supernatural power of Almighty God. That is only because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Beloved, let me say this. when I was praying this morning, and I said, may his presence be manifested where you are. Even in it being manifested where you are, if you did not feel his presence, it doesn't negate the fact that he is there. He is there. If you don't feel love, does not negate the fact that he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even if you don't feel it, understand that that does not negate who he is. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. Always. Those three things. All-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. He is all of those things. So he has not left you in the midst of your troubles. He has not left you. Be encouraged in the Lord. And I encourage you all the more that as the prophetic word is being spoken over your life, that you take these words serious. That you, if you can record them, record them. If you can write them down, write them down. Go back over them time and time again. Go back, listen to what God said to you. God's word will not return unto him void. That's his written word. His written word and the word that he has spoken to you through your prophets and that he has spoken to you personally. God's word will not return unto you void. You can mess up and not cause a prophecy to come to pass. You can mess up because you didn't believe it. And so you didn't believe it and you didn't receive it. You can mess up because you believed it, but you still didn't receive it. You can mess up because you believed it, you received it, but then you took no action upon it, where there was a part that you had to take. Prophecy can be conditional. If you were doing such and such, then such and such will be done. It can be conditional. Thanks to God, we need to listen, and we need to adhere to the word of God. We need to adhere to the word of God. It is so vitally, vitally important. Praise be unto God. As I'm speaking, let me say also, those of you that are online, if there's something that you would like to say, please press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad, and you can join in the conversation with me. You can join in the conversation with me. Praise be unto God. Oh, I tell you, I am excited again. I'm excited about what the word tells us about the prophets, about prophecy, about the benefits of having prophecy. Let me also tell you this, saints of God. Every single one of us can prophesy. Every single one of us can prophesy, but not every single one of us has this supernatural call on our lives to be prophets. But we all can prophesy. We all can. We all can prophesy. All Christians can flow, like I said, in the prophetic word. But to be a prophet of God, there's got to be that special calling from God and the recognition that that calling is from God. And then mature spiritual leaders in the kingdom of God will recognize the call on our life. And when a person is a prophet, they themselves are a gift to the body of Christ. They themselves are a gift to the body of Christ. Do you hear me? prophets that are on this line, Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Denise, do you hear me? That as a prophet, you a gift to the body of Christ. God has anointed you. He has called you. He has sanctified you. He has separated you. He has separated you for such a time as this. He has separated you so that you would hear clearly what thus saith the Lord. He has separated you so that you would see not in the natural realm, but that you would see in the spiritual realm. You will see during the daylight hours. You will see visions. You will see them in dreams. God will speak to you as a prophet. He made you a gift to the body of Christ. Use your gift accordingly as the Father would have you to use it. Use it accordingly. There are those of you who knew as a child that you were different. You knew this as a child, that there was something different about you. You didn't fit in with the other children. God was speaking to you as a child. And there were people in your life who didn't believe it. But he was speaking to you as a child. Children, God is calling us before he formed us in our mother's womb. He called us, he anointed us to be those prophets, to be whatever it is he has chosen us to be, whatever part of the fivefold ministry that he called you to. God did this before you were formed in your mother's womb. He did this. I tell you to know the revelation and the relationship with Christ. It's such a freedom that's in that. There's such a freedom that's in it. And yet, there are plights and hardships that you carry as a prophet. There are trials and tribulations that you will face that people in other parts of the fivefold ministry won't face. But you will face certain things that they won't. And one of the largest things, one of the biggest things, is that separation. Prophets feel more alone than any of the other ministers in the Bible. They feel like they're all alone, that nobody is with them. Nobody is with them and nobody is for them. They feel this way. In the name of Jesus, they feel this way. I'm asking right now if anything I'm saying is ministering to or confirming anything to the prophets that are online. Would one of you press 1 on your keypad? I need somebody to talk back to me today. I need somebody to tell me that they hear what I'm saying and they can say yes. I know that. I felt that. I've been there. So if you walk in that office, praise be unto God, beloved. If you walk in that office, if you know that you know that you know, praise be unto God, talk to me this day. And yes, we have a caller. This would be Denise from Pennsylvania. God bless you, woman of God. Speak to me this morning. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good, thank you. As my mom would say, I am blessed.
Amen, amen. Yes. And I need you, if you could, speak a little louder, please, because we can barely hear you.
Okay. I have experienced a lot of what you are talking about, and it's hard for people to understand your personality. But I really believe that the reason God calls us to a more secluded life is so we are not, number one, polluted by the world. I spent so much time as a child in the Word of God. Even when I was angry with God, I would still go to the Word of God, because I was trying to understand God. And so I knew he was talking to me. I knew he called me. And there are certain things that would be said in my mind, like people will say, I had a thought. that thought would come, but it was like a voice talking to me, and I would answer that voice. I would discuss what it was that was going on. And I even remember being in health class in seventh grade, and the teacher was teaching about personality disorders and how when people would get upset or very hurt, that they would do things to either turn on people or turn on themselves. And I remember specifically saying, I will do good. I will not do bad, but I will do good. And I will not take up those traits that, you know, like that depression causes and all. I won't do that. And I don't know if that was God telling me that I wouldn't do it, or if it was me making that decision not to do it. And, you know, God showed me, you don't have to do that. You don't have to fit into the mold that the world has carved out for you. You're in my mold. And so I made conscious decisions. And I'm telling you, I've never done wrong and not know I was doing wrong. And like when people say, I didn't know, I always knew. And I would not have peace inside. And I would have to get right with God because I could not live without the presence of God. It is one of the most important things to me is to please God. Aggravate me because other people didn't seem to think about God. They didn't consider him in the things they did. And I would say, why don't you think? Why don't you think first before you do what you're doing? And so when you're young, you think it's a matter of intelligence. It's not until you get older that you realize it's a matter of calling. And I was probably in my 30s when the prophets came and told me, you heard God's voice when you were a child, and you knew you heard his voice. And it was like, okay, now there's no excuse for me. See, other people may have an excuse. I don't have an excuse because I hear the voice of God. I do not have an excuse. God will hold me accountable. And not that he doesn't hold others accountable, but I feel so much more accountable where my actions are concerned because I talk to God and I hear from God.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so very much for sharing that. Thank you so very much. I want to tell you that in my studies, as I, you know, was looking up some things and preparing for today, looking up some things and preparing for the day, there is a statement that I've always, you know, that I've seen before. I got to stop stammering over this. Okay, let me say this. Prophets speak from God to the people. Pastors speak from the people to God, okay? And in a discussion that I had with you, bless the Lord, in a discussion that I had with you, you told me that you are a listener and that I am a talker. And listening to what I just said, that the prophets speak from God to the people, the pastors, priests, and so forth, they speak from the people to God. We go before God and we make the request of the people. And the prophets come before the people and tell them what God is saying. Well, in my studies, I want to read this statement. Of course, you know, I thought about you and I laughed. I mean, I laughed. And it says, prophets in the Bible were listeners. Priests were talkers. They spoke to the people and took the request of the people to God. Prophets first listened to God and then took his word to the people. Isaiah 6:8 says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. And that's what the prophet Isaiah said. So, you know, that first line about prophets being listeners and priests being talkers, I thought about our conversation. And I know that I am prophetic. I will not say that I am a prophet. And I will not say that I am a prophet. Yes, I will say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I walk in the office of the apostle and prophet. I walk in that office. And there are times that my priesthood, the pastor, understand, let me say this. As an apostle, we walk through all five offices, okay? We walk through all five offices. We can function in all five offices. We are not as pronounced in every office as the main office that we are called to. Does that make sense to everybody? Look, I think I'm at church, right? And I'm expecting y'all to say yes, something. But
yeah.
But we can walk in all five offices. As a prophet, you have to know how to teach. Do you hear me? As a prophet, you got to teach. Okay. As a prophet, you also concerned about the souls of people. As a prophet, but I'm a separate. And thank you for saying yes, Denise. I know that people are there. Thank you. I know that you're there. So you will expound and you will mature in the different offices, whichever one that you are called to specifically. And as an apostle, I walked through every single one of those offices. And there are times in my conversation, my priesthood comes out, going to God and pleading for the people. God, you know, yes, I know they sinned. God, have mercy. You know, I'm pleading for the people. And then as the apostle or prophet, I'm coming back to the people saying, you got to get this right. You got to get this right. If you don't, such and such, or giving them that word of encouragement. Jeremiah 1:9-10 says, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Behold, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's what he did to Jeremiah the prophet. That's what he's doing to us as prophets. He has put his hand over our mouth, and he's given us what to say. And that we'll build up, we will tear down, we will throw out. There's a whole lot of things that we do as a prophet. Now listen to this. Prophets have a passion to see people reach their purpose and their destiny in life. They have a passion to see you not be stuck in the world the way that we are in the world now. They don't want to see you stuck there. They want to see you be all that God has called you to be, knowing that it is possible to be that way with the help of the Holy Spirit living within you. They love to see people move into the future that God intended for them. An apostle is passionate about transformation. I cry because I don't see people being transformed in the manner in which they should. I'm like, they got enough word. They hear the word. What is causing the transformation not to take place? Why are they not changing? You tell some people the same thing over and over again, and they don't seem to get it. Yet there is somebody you can say it to once, and transformation takes place. To God be the glory. A pastor is passionate for the community. You know, they want to see the community come together. Come together and let's worship the Lord. Come together, let's serve one another. Come together. That pastor is nurturing, watching out over you. He's a shepherd, you know, seeing to it that all the lambs and sheep are in place and so forth and so on. That's a community-minded pastor. And then the evangelist is passionate about souls being saved. That's what the evangelist does. Man, they go from one place to another. They're in the store. They're on trips. They're at the bank stopping to get gas. They're online doing through social media, doing and saying and services, messages, because they want souls saved. Souls saved. See, the evangelist doesn't necessarily watch over the souls after they're saved. Their passion is get saved. Get saved. Let the pastor disciple you and teach you what you need to teach. My job as the evangelist is to get you saved. And the teacher is passionate about you maturing in Christ, about you maturing in Christ. And the prophet is so passionate about the destiny and to seeing people reach those destinies. So even as I mentioned those things, maybe some of you could identify what is it that you are passionate about when you look at yourself ministry-wise. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about souls being saved? Are you passionate? Listen, saints of God. Hear me. This is what is so glorious to me. The gifts that God gives us, they don't only work in the church. It works in the marketplace. So now hear me when I say this. A teacher in the body of Christ wants to see you mature according to the lessons that you're being taught from the Word of God. They want to see you spiritually mature. A teacher in school wants to see you intellectually mature. They want to see you mature. Praise be unto God. An apostle that is passionate about transformation, spiritual transformation taking place. And when you have the gifting and the calling of an apostle in the marketplace, you want to see things transformed. You're not satisfied with things staying exactly the way they are. You want to see them transformed. These things take place in the marketplace as they do in the spiritual realm. And when we say, God, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, what's done in heaven come to earth and be manifested. Let it come about. The evangelist, oh my God, the evangelist, passionate about souls being saved. You say, well, how does that equate in the marketplace? Listen. I was a recruiter for Best Buy. I did most of my evangelistic work as a recruiter. As a recruiter, my job was to recruit you from the job that you already had, the companies you were already working for, and convince you that what I had was better, what I have to offer you is better than what you have, therefore saving you from that place into a better place. And in that place, when I was a recruiter, and I saw how many people that it seemed like, you know, when they would come to me and say to me, you don't know what a blessing it was that you caused me. You don't know how much it meant to me that you got me out of that place. I was saving them in a natural sense, and yet it was the spiritual calling on my life that was bringing about the salvation. It works both sides, people. Hear me. It works both sides. So whatever it is that you have a passion for, when you look at these, when I gave you the fivefold ministry, the passion for seeing these things, the passion to see people move into the field what they could be, you can see somebody's potential sometimes before they can see their potential. You can see their downfalls and their weaknesses, and you do whatever you can to keep them from walking in that place. Beloved, that is a spiritual anointing on your life. And you may not have come to the place spiritually where you recognize that. Denise, is there anything that you want to say about what I'm saying right now? Because I know I left your mic open.
Yes. When we were having our conversation, we were talking about our relationship to the people. And I feel that as a prophet, in my relationship to the people, a lot of times it's warning. It's to take the warning to the people. That's why I said I'm one who speaks. You're one who listens. They will come to you to tell you stuff. You know, you're hearing their heart, and that's what I mean about being a listener. You hear what is in their heart or what is in their mind. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I speak to them what is in the mind of Christ. And that's what mm-hmm. Not that we don't talk to God, because we do. I talk to God, and that's where I spend most of my time. That's why I don't spend a lot of time with people. If you spend a lot of time in the world and listening to the world will try and convince you that they are right and God is wrong. Eve's biggest mistake was she was speaking to a worldly voice and listening to it instead of listening to God. And what I loved about God when he said he did not want us to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God does not want us to know evil. Well, when you know evil, that's a close acquaintance with evil. Like you can, I don't think it's just that, oh, I know this is bad. No, it's knowing evil. And many people pass just the look on it and see evil to the knowing involved in it. And so I feel that one of my calling is to warn people not to get involved with evil. Don't let the enemy fool you into thinking, oh, I can do this and it won't affect me. It does have an effect, and it may kill us slowly, like it killed Eve slowly, but the end thereof is death. And that's what people will not receive from Christ. They will, you know, make up all kind of excuses, but the end thereof is death. And that's what, so I take the warning to the people. And it doesn't mean that once somebody sins, they can't come out. That's the whole purpose of warning them to repent. John the Baptist, he went forth preparing the way of the Lord, warning them that, listen, you're on the wrong path, but there's one coming who can save you from this destruction. Listen to him. Follow him. You know, this is, I think that's my biggest calling, is to really tell people, no, you've got to return to God. The word says return to him. He will return to you. So if we shut God out, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. He's there. He sees. He loves. But he will not force himself. You have to want him more than you want the things of the world. And so these are the, you know, the kind of, and I think that's where a lot of prophets are misunderstood. They think we're condemning them, and I feel it's more warning them not to stay on that path. Yeah. But
okay, let me
always hope.
What did you say?
I said, but definitely there is always hope for that person who is on that path.
Amen. Amen. And let me say this. When you were saying no evil, God doesn't want us to know evil. That no is intimate. That's an intimate no.
Right.
That is, yeah. And so it's not just, okay, I can look and see somebody is stealing, and I know that that's evil, okay? That's an evil. It is an intimate, that no is relationship with evil. It's a relationship. In the Bible, the word no means it's intimate, is to know. we are to know God. We are to be intimate with God. We are to know when he said Adam knew Eve, you know, they knew each other intimately. They knew each other. And so to know evil, we become intimate with evil. It becomes a way of life for us. It's what we live. We're intimate with this thing. And God does not want us to be intimate. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be like him. That's what he originally created us for. And the other thing, to evil, there was a discussion about God creating evil. So he created this bad thing and then tells us to stay away from it. It's not that God created evil. Evil is the absence of God. That's what's evil. If God isn't in it, it's evil. He didn't have to create evil. Evil is the absence of the presence of God. It is the absence of him being in that thing. So if God isn't in it, it could be evil. Just like when you have light, there is light and there's darkness. But darkness only exists because light isn't there. The light is what is there. And darkness existed because there was no light. Darkness existed because there was no light. But when light comes on the scene, there is no darkness. There is no darkness when light comes on the scene. So we need to know that difference. Beloved, Prophetess Kim, are you on Dear Heart? I think I see your number. I'm not sure. But she may not be in a place. Anyway, we're near the end of our time here. But anyway, thanks to God. I wanted you to know, like I said, the reason why I came to you so strongly today with the prophetic call is because the word says that without a vision, we perish. Without a vision, we perish. Without revelation, we perish. We perish. If we don't know, if God's will is not being revealed to us, we have no idea how to do and to get to where it is God wants us to get. We have no idea how to live the way God wants us to live. So we have to know these things. I pray, you know, that even, I also wanted to say that the prophetic word was so important to God that over a quarter of the Bible, over a quarter of the Bible verses in the Bible are prophecies, over a quarter of them are prophecies. So that's how much God used the prophetic and the prophets. Over a quarter of the Bible verses are about prophecy. So it's that important that we know and receive and hear, believe and obey when it comes to the prophetic word. Thanks to God, our time is up. Praise be unto God. I do thank y'all again for being with me. Denise, thank you for sharing and talking back to me. I really appreciate it. To God be the glory. Saints, may all of you be blessed. May all of you continue to go forth in what God has called you forth. And if God is speaking to you, and listen, don't just go out here and start trying to prophesy to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Don't do that. God, this training that needs to be done, and even though Denise said that God spoke to her as a child, he spoke to her as a child. Yes, he did. She was a prophetic child, absolutely. But there are different levels of our gifting, Don't go out here and just start spouting off things when you're not sure it's from God, that you just think that you heard from God. Now you can go get a business card, and you're now Prophetess Jones, Prophetess Jim, a Prophet Jim. and you're going to go out here and save the world. And please don't do that. Don't do that. You've got to be in your word. You've got to live in the word of God. You've got to mature spiritually. There's other trainings that teach us how to hear, how to listen. There are things that God wants us to mature in so that we will not be counted amongst those that have been labeled as false prophets. So mind you, be careful and beware. Be careful, beware. Take that from me as an apostle. Take that from me as a prophet. Beware. Beware of all things. Beware. All right. Again, this is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. See you back here next Saturday. And for those of you in New Vision, I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.